So Heather, of course, this choice of osimertinib was based on the FLAURA trial. I wonder if you could just comment on a little bit from your point of view, what are some of the major findings in the trial, and in particular, what your thoughts are about the survival benefit that's been observed and what that means to you?
So the FLAURA trial, of course, was a head-to-head comparison of osimertinib versus a comparator arm, which was either gefitinib or erlotinib. And we've known for some time that the progression-free survival benefit was pretty striking, but the criticisms were that the osimertinib progression-free survival was around 19, 20 months. And if you looked at what would we get if you gave someone a first-generation drug and then at the development of T790M gave them osimertinib, that A plus B also came out with around that same progression-free survival. So there were questions that had lingered until we saw the overall survival data in the fall of 2019, which showed that there was an overall survival benefit to the osimertinib. And it wasn't, knock it out of the park, but it was enough months that it was clinically meaningful. And I think the way that I think about it and talk about it with patients is if I know that someone was going to have a long duration of response to erlotinib, gefitinib, and then get T790M and then go on osimertinib, I could certainly pick that path from the beginning. But for at least two-thirds and more like half of the patients, if they start on erlotinib or gefitinib, the progression pathway doesn't lead us to then get on the third-generation drug and get that benefit. And also, as Jeff said, that for most patients, the tolerability of osimertinib is better. We do have to watch for cardiac toxicity. We do have to watch for pneumonitis, but the pneumonitis is a risk with any of the drugs. And if you just get EKGs, you can find those QTc problems. So in general, it's a much better tolerated agent. And at least in the U.S., it's become the preferred first line. When we think globally, though, there's still financial toxicity that comes in. Any newer drug is going to be more expensive than the older drugs. And so it's not necessarily globally adopted as first line, but certainly in the United States, it's preferred. And absolutely, I would have done the same thing. However, even with osimertinib and how much we talk about it and what a great drug it is, it still doesn't work forever. And for very, very few patients, are they on it more than 2 years? And so that next edge is trying to, what can we add? How can we keep that benefit going longer? Because most patients feel well while they're on it. And that's where the ideas of, well, we know from with the trials with first-generation drugs, if you give concurrent first-generation drug plus chemo, there have been some nice overall survival outcomes seen in a couple of trials done globally. And then with the VEGF agents, there's always been this VEGF EGFR combination, which has looked very promising. But as was just pointed out by Justin and by Jeff, most of that data is looking at the first-generation drugs with VEGF inhibitors. But in practice, we want to be looking at the third-generation drug, osimertinib, with VEGF. And so there's actually an ECOG Acron study that is going to be opening soon. Helena Yu is going to be leading that ECOG Acron effort. And that's going to be looking at osimertinib plus or minus the bevacizumab. And I think that's really the key question that a lot of us are thinking about. But we have to think about the toxicity of the VEGF inhibitors in that setting. And then there are others who are working on a study of chemo plus osimertinib. But again, there's a lot of potential toxicity questions, especially if we're thinking about an older patient like the one that was just presented.